in talking about specific things that God has set forth in His Word for us to practice in serving faithfully Him. There are certain things in life that are so required by God that we will not ever get past the judgment day without having practiced those ways of life. You turn with me in the Bible today to Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verse 33, but we'll look at the context of this verse for what we are to do in the daily walk of life. Matthew 6. You'll see in verse 33 a statement made in regard to seeking first the kingdom. But look at what he says in this particular passage of Scripture and the context of it. The immediate verses before show you a context. And he's saying here, verse 25, take therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or what for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of ye by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord here in His Word set forth something for you and me to practice in a daily walk of life that's rather specific. He says, take no thought for the morrow. What are we planning to do? Well, we make plans, of course, and in Luke chapter 14 at verse 23 and thereabout, it tells us that of a man building a tower, consider first the cost. Otherwise, while he's beginning to build that tower, he has insufficient to finish it. Others will come by and mock him and say, this man began to build, but he could not finish. Or what man going to war, going to conflict with 10,000 men comes against a man who has 20,000 on his side, then has to send an ambassador of peace, and he's mocked by saying, he began a war, he could not finish. The idea of my preparation for the deeds of day and everything is a good thing. And we look at this particularly as we look at the planter of the various lilies that would be there and the planters of the field of the grain that would be reaped. And there's a time in which to do that of the year, and there's a time not to do that in the course of the year. As a result of that, we can reap wonderfully. And God said He would cause that to happen. He likens it to the ways in which He says regarding the lilies of the field and the fowls of the air. In verse 26, He says, the fowls of the air do not sow, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, and yet they are fed on a continuous basis by the Heavenly Father. He noted there in verse 28, how the lilies of the field grow. And how that in verse 29, that even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor was not arrayed like one of those flowers of the lilies of the field. When we take into consideration these particular ideas, we consider seeking first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is described in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 as being that place where God places us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Notice he says that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ we have the cleansing of our sins. We're placed into kingdom. We're from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Colossians chapter 4 and down verse 16, you read where this letter written to Colossae is to be taken to the church at Laodicea and read among the brethren at Laodicea. They're also to get the letter that he has written to Laodicea and bring it back to Colossae in order for them to read and get the benefit of the instruction, the inspired instruction that's given to Laodicea. The idea there is that the church people and the kingdom people were the same people. When we find ourselves seeking first the kingdom of God and we're placed out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and the kingdom is to identify the letter that's written to them to be taken over to the church in Laodicea and get the letter I sent to the church in Laodicea and bring it back here to the kingdom of God's dear Son in Colossae, they're the same kind of people. Same kind of spiritual people. Jesus said regarding the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26:26-29, it is to be partaken of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and is to be partaken in the kingdom, and is to be taken by us in the kingdom as He partakes of it far away from us in heaven itself. He doesn't drink, He doesn't eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, but He spiritually is with us as we remember His body and remember His blood shed for all of us for the remission of our sins. It's a good thing for us to remember first the kingdom of God as we go through in life. And when we remember first the kingdom of God, let's not get caught up in the kind of things about this life from the standpoint of the affairs of this life and how that they will keep us away from our gatherings and our songs and our prayers together as we remember the Lord and His body as we do that. It's for us to do as we have a specific nature of God's Word. If you'll turn with me now over to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll notice regarding this matter that Jesus talks about people that hold a grudge and how that they don't need to hold grudges as they go through life. He says in verse 21, "Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto 70 times 7. Therefore, if the kingdom of heaven likened unto a king, certain king, which would account for his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. But for inasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him and saying, Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not. And he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you also. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that sins against him. You'll notice in connection with this, he's talking about people who go out in life and who find themselves involved in circumstances that are deep in debt. The talents were a heavyweight and a terrible, terrible debt that in likelihood, the scholars tell us, of the 10,000 of those, that it would be the case that he could never, in several lifetimes, have worked and got the money sufficient to pay back what he owed. Whereas the pence was a small amount of money, a very small amount that was owed. Something he easily worked for a few weeks of time, and to have the pence available to pay off that man. But since he had no compassion for the small amount, yet he had the compassion of his Lord for an amount he could never have paid, he would be in prison all the way up through his life. The statement made here is, you are wicked and slothful servant. Let us be people then who find ourselves willing to forgive and not hold a grudge, carrying a grudge with us to the end of life. We'll meet the Lord at the judgment day. He talks about that judgment day in the last verse of Matthew 18. So likewise shall my Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You'll notice in this regard a situation. I remember the late brother J.A. Thornton speaking of a man that he met once upon a time in his studies, who talked about a fellow friend that he had at one time, and he had gotten odds with him. And he said to Brother Thornton, if that man goes to heaven, I don't want to go. Brother Thornton said he thought a minute. He said, you just don't know what you're saying. You want to miss out on being with the Lord in heaven and the rewards of heaven because of what this person has done to you in life? Brother Thornton used to express this particular example in this way. The man did not realize what forgiveness really was. Is it the case that we do not realize what forgiveness is on the part of God for us and our sins that will compel us to hold a grudge against someone all the way through? Hatreds to be expressed, and no concern at all, no compassion at all for that person in life. Will we be pleasing to God at the judgment day? Specifically, Jesus said, no, my Father will not forgive you your trespasses if you do not from your heart. He didn't say just, okay, I'll consider about this thing of heaven. I'll forgive it. I'll just forgive it. Just in words only. But in the manner of your heart, from your heart, forgive those that trespass against you. That's important to God. Our willingness to forgive should be a necessary thing for our daily walk of life. That's the spirit by which we're to live, a spirit of compassion to others. But the idea of creating a situation within us of hatred. You know, in this word, Solomon wrote in regard to this matter, how that we are to be people who to our fellow man are helpful and how that we cannot be people who get into terrible ways by our words that we speak. He says the words that you speak should be gentle words. But the words that you speak that are grievous words stir up anger. When we get there thinking about things that we would hate and talk that way about it, we find anger. And anger is generally met with anger. And there is a lot of death that takes place on that. The spirit of life and of death is in the tongue. Let us be people who control that way of life in our ways of doing. In order to help us to do that, turn now with me to the book of Luke. It's in the same chapter, Luke chapter 18. And notice what Jesus our Lord is talking about there as we close this lesson study today of things that are very, very specific from God. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus talked about a parable that would tell them what prayer really meant. He said in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was not a good man. He was not a good person. He feared God, and he didn't regard man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I would avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Our Lord Jesus here said, this is the way to pray. And don't get weak. Don't faint. Don't get weak on the idea that I prayed about it and nothing's happened. Nothing's happened yet is the word to be used. Nothing happened yet. Something is going to happen when we pray about it, because the Father in heaven, like this unjust judge in his ways, doesn't have to. The Father in heaven hears those who cry unto him day and night. And he will avenge us. Our prayer lives should be steady and continuous. Notice that the man who was unjust judge said, she'll come to me day by day by day. She'll come again and again. She'll trouble me. He didn't wish to have that troubling to be coming this way. Thus he set out a way to help her in her circumstance. But your Father in heaven is not an unjust judge. He is a caring individual who listens to the prayers that we offer and who listens to the cries that we have, and promises to be an avenger for those problems, and promises to reward us as we pray. Specifically, what should we do? Sit around and complain about it? Sit around and do nothing about it? Sit around and never say a word of prayer about it? Jesus said in the very first verse of Luke 18, I speak unto you this parable. The word parable, parabole, para means beside of, and bole means to cast. When you cast along to the side of something, you can see what it really means. And Jesus cast along to the side an unjust judge who was wearied and troubled and who would help somebody in spite of it. And the Heavenly Father, who is not unjust, who is loving and caring of those who cry unto Him night and day, and who reassigns His help to them. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't become a person that gets weak in prayer. Be a person who is strengthened in prayer. So if we have a problem seeking first the kingdom, we pray about it. Pray about that problem being relieved, that problem being moved aside, that problem being remedied, so that we can seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom with the words we say. Seek first the kingdom of God in the worship that we do. Seek first the kingdom of God in the service of our fellow man that we do. I'm quite sure that our men tonight will talk in regard to the circumstances of the tornadoes that pretty much tore up Lambert, Mississippi, and around Arthur Butler area, up here at the Lewisburg area, Lewisdale. The ideals are of concern because we have men here who are compassionate in thought. It may be that we don't know enough, and it may be that we don't have a sufficient amount of information about certain persons or certain ways that we can help, but they will be leaving this meeting tonight with an intent to call and to find more and to do more and to be more of the help and compassion of people in need. That's the spirit of these men, and that's the spirit of those that I knew gone before. The older people of this congregation that are no longer here on the earth below. But they are people who love the cause. Well, we, to tell you all, and you all know this, but to remind you of it, when we had the television ministry in Jackson, and the question and answer service were being done, we asked the brethren far and wide around this area. Crockett was one of the congregations that said, yes, we will help. Though we did not see the program, get the program here on our television sets, we have relatives and friends and others who were in central Mississippi that would. And they were helped to see that question and answer program. It was so widespread in being done. I told the men about this particular. I used to go to the, what do they call it, a camp in Mississippi, Miss Jack? Flea market. I used to go to the flea market. I parked on the north side of town. They charged me a little bit of money to watch out after my car, and I parked in the yard. So many people went to it. I walked down the street to the square. I was never there more than 10 minutes, just walking about, gazing at this, gazing at that. They had all kinds of artifacts and things that were there. My intent was not to purchase those things. I didn't have dollars or cents at that time to do that, but nevertheless, I did it. But somebody would walk up and say, don't I see you on television? Don't I see you on television? I know I do. I never told them, yes, you do, and there should have been church service during that time because it's at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. But nevertheless, I recognized that there were people who were watching that program. And who made it possible? There are folks here at Crockett that have gone on before, been buried in a cemetery. They had compassion and thoughts and prayers about good that could be done when the gospel message is used.